Hey guys, this is Phil Wright from the Scandaleros and Alligator Wine.
Hi, I'm Jack Wright, his mini-me, and he finally let me out of the basement.
So Jack, now that you're out of the basement, what are you going to do on December 3rd?
I should probably jam out with all the rock stars in St. Louis at Philippalooza.
That's right, Philippalooza 11's coming up, right? Where are we having that?
Oh, the old Rock House, nice place.
Nice place, yeah, we like that place a lot. So, there's a lot of great musicians playing with us that day. Jake's Leg, the Funky Butt Brass Band, the Falling Fences, Al Holiday and the Eastside Rhythm Band, Mom's Kitchen.
They smell good.
Scandaleros. Phil Wright and friends, who... Is that who you're playing with?
I believe so.
I think they were going to let you, finally. All right, Oaksteel and Lightning and Cluster Pluck will be there as well. Tickets are $10. They're available through MetroTix right currently, or you can buy them the evening of at the door. This is a Schlafly-sponsored event. It'll be a full tap takeover. We'll have a silent auction and all kinds of other fun things going on. Music starts at 3 p.m., ends at 3 a.m. All day long, 12 hours of craziness and music. So we'll see you guys down there at the old Rock House. I'll speak for Jack, and when I say we look forward to hanging out with all you good folks.
Oh, yeah.
Now get back in your hole.
Oh, come on, man. You can't keep doing this to me.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at the Gaslight on the Hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Check it out at GaslightSTL.com for a full listing of upcoming events and book yourself a tour. Come over and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, and they all happen to share a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come over and get some tacos, some cold drinks, watch one of your favorite bands record in the studio, and just have a great time. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram while you're at it. Like I said, full listing of events, GaslightSTL.com. Also wanted to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location. They just moved over to Washington Avenue, right over there next to KDHX. So come visit the new location, new records every Friday, live in stores, a lot on the weekends. You can follow them also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
A podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Joe.
This is Carson.
This is Jack.
This is Phil. We're from the Scandaleros, Alligator Wine. We're here talking about Philippalooza on the Rock Paper Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Do it.
Sunday, Sunday.
Rock Paper Podcast.
There's another original songwriter.
Still in my mind.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Another original song there.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, I want to remind everybody, if you haven't checked it out, I do have a Rock Paper Podcast Spotify playlist I made. If you want to go over there and check that out, there's all sorts of great music from all around town, past and future guests of the show. And so get out there and get involved, listen to those, and find some new music you like. With all that out of the way, episode 314 with these guys. These guys are, you guys are, we were kind of talking about, you guys are kind of like taking over. You got all kinds of bands, got all kinds of shows.
All the bands. All,
yeah, all of the bands.
Hashtag all the bands.
Yeah. Playing all the notes, all the music.
But, yeah, these are the guys of Scandal Arrows. Whoop. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello.
Buenos noches.
And I guess, and Alligator Wine, right? All correct. Three are also in.
Yeah, that is correct.
Both bands, yep.
So, but we're also... We're here today to talk about Philippalooza coming up, and so we've got a lot to talk about. But anyway, I thank you guys for taking some time out to hang, and we are recording this episode live from the Dude Zone.
From the Dude Zone!
Yeah. So thank you for having me over here to the Dude Zone, Phil.
Welcome aboard, Shane.
Yeah, well, I guess before we get going too far, everybody want to actually introduce yourselves and say hi?
Well, I'm Carson Mann, I play guitar.
He speaks first, also.
Yeah.
I'm Phil Wright. I play harmonica.
I'm Joe Kappen. I play the bass and vocals.
Yeah. And I was kind of thinking, too, on the way over, and recently I've been thinking about it a lot, too, and just like me and Phil, we sat just about a year ago to talk about last year's Philippalooza, and it's just crazy to me, like how, you know, maybe a year ago I really didn't know you guys very well, and now I feel like we're all real good friends.
Oh, yeah.
And like it's just kind of a crazy how I a year's time changed everything, and so it's been a lot of fun getting to hang with you guys over this last year, and
been a pleasure.
Yeah absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're all good people.
Yeah.
So, except for Joe.
Yeah, we laugh. Joe has his moments.
Shh, don't tell them.
It's funny how the St. Louis music scene does that, though, as far as like, you know, it's really easy to like make connections and start building friendships within with on and off the stage with people like that, and it's you know, I think it's pretty well known that I'm a big fan of supporting anything that goes on St. Louis music-wise, and part of that's because of the fact that, you know, some of the people that I care about the most is friends, and are people that, you know, I've met through this whole thing, either playing music with them or seeing them at shows or different things like that, and it's just funny how this scene kind of builds that sort of mentality.
Sure, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was, and I was also thinking, like, just I was reminded of it the other night, I walked into Oyster Bar while you guys were up on stage, Alligator Wine and Friends. You had a couple of special guests with you, and
it was awesome.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
It was fun.
But I walked in the door, you know, it's like midnight, place is packed, and I walk in, I'm greeted by hugs and high fives all over the place, and just like, that's such a cool feeling, though.
Yeah,
you're
love
welcome.
The love.
Yeah, right.
I'm on a personal mission to bring back the high five as a thing on a regular basis, though, yeah. To remove the douche nozzle mentality of the high five and make it truly a substitute for a hug for people who are maybe you're not quite as comfortable with a hug.
Do you know, like getting your bubble burst.
High fives are great. Aim for the elbow.
All right. Follow the elbow.
Aim for the elbow.
But yeah, I mean, that was the pre-Philippalooza party just the other night.
Correct, yes.
And I mean, I did great turnout. I mean, the place was popping when I got there. And you know, like I said, about 12, I got there a little late after the Urge show I went to. Mm-hmm. And which was nuts,
right?
And, but it was a good crowd, and you guys sounded awesome. And like I said, with Sean Cannon up there on guitar with you, and
Manalis.
We had Spanky on keys. We had Tim McLaughlin on percussion from Mom's Kitchen, and you know, the band itself is kind of a mixture of. I mean, we're all in Scandal Arrows at the same time now, but you know, I was in TBO when they kind of started. So it was Scandal Arrows, TBO, and then Sean Englund from Vitamin A is the drummer. So we kind of built it with the idea of being a. The term all-star is kind of thrown around a lot, but that's you know, guys who really care about the Grateful Dead that are in other bands, it was going to start as a side project, I think, is the way we thought about it. And it's turned into something where we're doing it more than we thought we were going to do, and we're getting asked to do things with it that, you know, are fun. And, you know,
I'm not, Terrapin Tuesday, and you know, the Terrapin Tuesday thing was all built around the Grateful Dead music or the Grateful Dead culture. And so people kept asking us to play Grateful Dead music, and so we learned some songs.
Like,
and
we'll call ourselves this.
Evolved into a band.
Alakazam, new band.
Yeah, it is funny how that happened, because it was like, I know we'd done a couple where it was Phil Wright and friends, and Carson had a Carson Man of friends, and then Joe had a Joe Hedman of friends, and all three of us were the friends all the time. Why don't we just call it a band instead of, like, you know, trying to call it who's fronting this week, you know? It's like. And then Sean was hanging out with us one night, and he said, "You guys are doing that on Tuesday night?" And we said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, I'll play." And I don't think we'd ever played, like, an actual organized set together. He'd set in with us on different things.
I've never played with him.
Yeah, he showed up at a jamboree a couple of times and played percussion and some drums with us, and I had played with Vitamin A before. And then that first night we played and, like, walked out on the sidewalk, and then we were done. We're like, "Oh, this needs to be a thing. We need to do this. We need to just, you know..." That's one of those cool moments in music where it feels right, and you're like, immediately go, "Okay, we just something just happened there.
Like, why aren't we doing this?" Yeah.
And then 2 gigs later, all of a sudden, we're getting asked to play other places besides just Terrapin Tuesday, which we love doing that as well. But it's you know, it's definitely grown. And and the other night, it was like, you know, Alligator Wine on steroids. When you had
Sean Cannon, Phil Manalis.
Yeah, I think I made a joke that Sean might know a few of these tunes a little bit. And so,
he's worked on them for a couple days.
Somebody's like, "You guys gonna rehearse for this?"
A few days.
Probably not. I think we got this one down.
So, Sean, you know trucking? That's a new one.
Yeah. That first phrase is pretty difficult. Tongue twister.
I couldn't spit it out. I just kind of mumbled. If anybody heard it and laughed, you should have laughed.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I think that's where it comes from, is we all love the songs. We all love to play together. And I guess that's kind of what you were alluding to about, you know, the community support.
Yeah,
and
everybody definitely.
Kind of getting on the same page.
Sure, yeah.
That's what I love. You know, they're like family, you know.
Good people attract good people.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just natural. So
I don't know about Joe or Carson, but I've played in bands. We've all played in bands where we've covered Grateful Dead songs, but I've never been in a dedicated Grateful Dead tribute band before. And so, like, you know, in our band group message back and forth, it's kind of neat to have other people that are as dorky about the Grateful Dead as I am, like, going saying, "This version from this year, so check this out," or "This era where they had this equipment, they did this." And so it's, you know, we can't begin to pull off this and that. We've kind of figured out that we're going to make it sound like we're going to make it sound. Mm-hmm. But being able to kind of get into that level of nerdery about the Grateful Dead with other people is kind of fun for me.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, I like some of the Dead stuff. I'm not as big into it as a lot of people, but I do appreciate what you guys do live, and I think that's probably the essence of what the Dead was anyway. That's why so many people wanted to always go see them. You know, it's like, because it was always something different live and all this. But I never got into listened to a lot of the recordings and stuff. But it's one of those shows that it was kind of the live experience and everything. So,
for sure.
So,
and every time we, like, try to learn a new song. Most of the time when you're learning new music you're going to cover, you typically want to start with the album version of a song to get the form, like, the structure, you know, everything else. And the few times we try to do that with these songs, I'm like, "Oh my God, I haven't heard this version." And they're like, "Oh, this is the studio version." I'm like, "That's why. I haven't listened to the studio version in probably 15 years." And it's like,
exactly.
We don't want to start with any of the studio versions. No, we find an era, a time period that, you know, they played it
that we all collectively we all, like, get off on, you know, like, "Oh, I love 72 to 74.
Right.
You know, those years, you know, when we say that kind of stuff, it goes over people's heads. But
right.
See, I think where maybe some of the uniqueness comes from is I don't really know the music. I mean, I know the Grateful Dead and I've listened to it, but I don't really follow it or, you know, have any knowledge of the chronology, you know, of all the, you know, 40 years of music, 50 years of music, right?
Right.
And so I kind of... maybe the best way of saying it is I just kind of make it up, you know? Which I kind of think is what they were doing, you know? Sure. It's an improvised nature of playing the songs.
Yeah, definitely. What a... you guys, so then, like we're saying, you also... So that's Alligator Wine. You guys are pretty much focusing on Grateful Dead stuff there. And,
right.
But, and also doing Scandaleros, which will be featured at Philippalooza.
Correct.
So, how would you guys describe that one compared to what you guys are doing with Alligator Wine.
Well, we write a lot of our own songs. I mean, it's built around original music.
Right.
Writing our own.
That's the focus of the Scandaleros, I think.
Yeah. Now, when we're playing a four-hour gig, we'll bust out covers. That's kind of how Alligator Wine got started in some respect, is we were doing Sugary and a few other choice covers that we just enjoy to play, playing, you know. And we were kind of making those a Scandaleros kind of thing, and then it kind of evolved into maybe doing something that was focused on that.
Right.
But, yeah, Scandaleros is really all about the original songs and trying to create a new take on rock and roll. Just, you know, good old-fashioned rock and roll with a little bit of something different.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to categorize, because people ask me, you know, when if you try to explain the Scandaleros thing, and I know it's cliche to say your band is hard to categorize, and so, like, Carson's right, at the essence, it's just good rock and roll, but there's definitely elements of country and blues and
bluegrass, and jazz, funk.
Which I think is a little bit of a nuance. I mean, you know, you have rock and roll, which obviously is a pretty broad term anyway.
Right.
But, you know, when you start adding all of those different things, which is kind of in the spirit of the Dead, too, when you think about it.
Oh, absolutely. Because they absolutely.
The, you know, covered gospel songs, and country songs.
And we did that as well.
So.
I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, like, I won't get into a lot of specifics, but I know we have a production meeting for a recording session coming up next week where we're going to be getting into the studio and putting together Scandaleros CD, an album, and you know, looking at the songs that are on it, they it's funny how they're cohesive, yet they're not necessarily one doesn't sound like the next, and there's definitely one sounds more this way, and the other one sounds a little more this way, and so it's like I was thinking about it the other day, like when you put together an album, you theoretically want to have it being, you know, one large piece to speak as an album, and it's funny how these songs, even though we didn't write them with an idea of being an album, like Carson wrote a lot of these songs before I was ever even in the band. You know, we didn't write them, but the idea of all being a part of an album, but it's funny how they all seem like they kind of work and tell the same general story, the same general idea. Definitely, there's an ethos, I think, to all of it. I mean, I know when we've sat and written before, we've talked about, when we've written together, we've talked about the idea of projecting an idea of positivity and hope. I know that was a word you used one time.
Triumph of the human spirit.
Yeah, that was one of the things.
Well, and you're telling your story when you're writing a song, too, you know, and if you feel like you've had certain triumphs or certain successes or maybe certain failures that you learn from, which are sometimes the most beneficial in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way to tell that in some kind of a story or poetry, lyrics.
It was very appealing to me, though, when we first sat down to write together, that we both kind of had that same mentality of, I don't want to have a lot of... There's definitely angst in rock and roll, no matter what, but we wanted to have that positive, moving forward sort of mentality. And so, like...
A positive light at the end.
Right, yeah, exactly. Something's coming, something better's ahead.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I, without getting into specifics, I had some stuff happen this past year and some life-changing things. So I went down to Florida this summer, and I sat, and kind of after he and I had talked, you know, it's hard. It's easy to be inspired when you're sitting on a beach with a rum drink and writing, but, I mean, at the same time, I definitely had that mentality in mind, the stuff that I was writing when I was down there, just kind of the idea of putting something with a better tomorrow ahead into what we were writing for. And I think that's definitely going to show in the stuff that we're putting together.
Yeah. I kind of talked about it, but like how, you know, talking to somebody about a kind of a, you know, writer's block and things, but like how sometimes you got to, like, you know, we don't always get the chance to write when you guys are out doing shows all the time and stuff. It's hard to, you know, find that creativity to inspiration to write and things, but sometimes you got to live a little life and go out there on the beach and do that kind of stuff to take away from all that, where you can actually focus on the moment and write and stuff. And
you find your muse. Right. You go and find it if you lost it. If that's the beach, that's where you go. If that's White Castle, you go there.
Sure.
We're not sponsored by them.
Yeah. Not this week anyway.
Not this week.
That's usually my move. Proud sponsor of the Rock Paper Podcast.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so you can catch Scandaleros, like I said, at Philipalooza on December 3rd. And you got a pretty good bill here.
Yeah.
Of all sorts of local favorites here.
It's hot.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. So I'm going to rattle these off. We'll just go through the whole list here. We got Jake Slag, Funky Butt Brass Band, Falling Fences, Al Holiday and the East Side Rhythm Band, Mom's Kitchen, Scandaleros, Phil Wright and Friends, Oak, Steel and Lightning, and Cluster Pluck.
Right. That's one of my favorite things every year. I think I talked about it last year when we did this. One of my favorite things of doing this is, you know, asking my friends, asking the bands that I really, because I really like all those bands. Right. If I'm not playing, there's a chance I'm going to be going to see one of those bands play somewhere around town. on any given night. And I'm definitely proud of the lineup that we put together. I feel like we do that. We do a good job with this every year, as far as putting together something where if I wasn't playing it, I'd want to go to it.
Yeah.
And you know, and there were friends that I asked that either couldn't play because of travel arrangements. That I'm going to call you out, Emily. Emily's told me that Emily Wallace, who I think the world of and is incredibly talented. We had her on the bill, and we talked about it when we played the Bistro gig with Funky Butt this summer. And she was excited, and I was excited. We both did a happy dance in the Bistro, which is kind of funny. And then 2 days later, she's like, I didn't think about it. It's when her and Jim Peters are in Mexico playing there. Oh, it was a tough trip of playing music on the beach in Mexico for 10 days. Yeah. She's like very apologetic, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you're a terrible person for going to Mexico and playing
decisions.
With I think I know exactly what I would do. I'd go to Mexico. Sure. How about you play Philip Blues, and I'll go to Mexico with those guys, you know? They need harp. So. Yeah. But no, it's funny how, like, you know, we could do. I kind of late in the game thought about trying to add a second day. I did 2 days a couple years ago, and it was a lot of work, and decided to go back to 1 day. And then I feel like I've kind of got a better grasp of what I'm doing now with it. And I do think in the future we're probably going to go back to doing 2 days again, because there's just so much good music in St. Louis that I genuinely feel bad about. There were bands that wanted to play that I couldn't fit on the bill because there's just not enough hours in the day.
Right.
And I could have easily done 2 days worth of just top shelf music in St. Louis.
Sure,
that's amazing. That's great.
And I had to tell people this year I couldn't add them, but that next year with 2 days, I want to take over the entire weekend and make sure that, you know, you don't want to go to just one night. You want to go to both nights.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be for the whole thing. So
yeah, and I mean that's just huge. That obviously that all these people want to be a part of it. I mean that's all. But
great band.
Yeah, I had a similar thing. I threw like a second birthday party, and then like only had a 4-hour window, and I was like, but everybody was like, hey, we want to be a part of it. And I'm like, you know, it felt really great to have that many people wanted to be in it. It's just like, I just only have limited time. And so next, I keep thinking about how I can grow and make it more of a full day event like yours and stuff in the future. So hopefully I'll get to that someday, but you know, still early on. Like, this is number 11.
11. And it's funny because the full day thing. I mean, we start at 3:00 and it goes to right up to about 3 a.m. I mean, we push it pretty close every year. To, you know, when Josh Limpert was running sound there, and I'm sure Tony will do the same thing this year. There's in the monitor going, Phil, it's 2:25. Phil, it's 2:45. Phil, it's 2:50. We've got to get these people out of here. And so it's a long day.
Stop the insanity.
And again, every year I'm like, what if we started at noon?
Yeah.
And they're like, we can't start at noon. We have to, you know, and I get it. It's a long day for everybody, but I genuinely want to have everybody on board.
Right.
And it's like, I want everybody there. I want all the people that I want to have play to be able to play with it. And, you know, next year we'll go back to 2 days for sure.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, so all this music and just $10 to get in the door. That's a bargain.
Yeah.
It's a lot of talent.
I've had people lean on me in the past about raising the price, and even kind of a friend of mine I work with said, you're an idiot not charging $20 for this, at least. It's been $10 since the first year, and it's going to stay $10 as long as I can possibly keep it that way. I don't know, nobody's making money on this. It's more about the idea of community and for a cause, you know. It's all for the ALS Association, and it's named after my dad. A lot of people think it's named after me. It's named after my father, Philip. He passed away in 2006 from Lou Gehrig's disease. And so we've been doing this every year in his memory. And if you've been before, you know that I've been to things like this where there's that moment where they bring out the video and they want to guilt you into donating more money and everything like that. And I have, despite some things that people have asked me to do, I've managed to hold that off and we've never had that downer moment. We're never going to. My dad wasn't a downer guy. He was incredibly positive, upbeat. He turned me on to a lot of great music. You know, this is supposed to be about a celebration of his memory, not a...
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, people have been like, well, you need to do an informational video about ALS, or you need to have somebody come up and speak about what the cause is. I'm like, nope. People know what they're there for. And even if they don't, they pay for it already, and they're here, they're having a good time. That's all that really matters to me. I don't ever want to have that moment where I'm never going to put a video on the big screen, which is, I keep going back to that point because somebody asked me about it this week, and I'm never going to do that. I don't want pictures of my dad when he was sick out and about. That's not how I choose to remember him.
I totally agree.
Never been something that I wanted to be anything negative. So, you know, I know when you hear sometimes it's a benefit concert, it's helping a disease, there's that moment where you're like, oh, here comes the serious part. This isn't going to be fun. Yeah. And, you know, we're never going to have that moment at Philippalooza as long as I have anything to do with it.
So. Yeah, sure. Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's on the flyer. It's on. People are going to know why they're there. And,
right. Yeah, that's a bit of the show.
So, I kind of agree. I mean, it is, those moments do get a little awkward. And, yeah. So,
you know, nothing says party like being half drunk at 11 p.m. and all of a sudden somebody comes up and wants to talk to you about a deadly disease. And show you talk about a buzzkill, man. It really will. It'll throw your night off.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any firsthand experience, but I think you said, or at least alluded to, how your dad would enjoy just people having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of, I think, what the spirit of it is. It's not even really about that. It's just about having a good time.
Right.
And for a great
you're raising
price.
Money. Yeah.
If you can be helping out a good cause without knowing you're helping out a good cause, that's the best benefit possible. I mean, I've done volunteer work, like I'm sure some of you guys have, and it feels like work.
Mm-hmm.
And
kind of starchy.
Yeah. So just the idea of having something that's
kind of
positive. And like you said, my dad, and the funny thing is, these guys never knew my dad. He passed away before we were all friends. And I have no doubt in my mind he could sit right here with all of us right now and crack us all up.
Right.
I mean, we'd be in tears laughing.
Jovial.
I mean, just seriously, he was just a fun-loving guy and a positive man all the way around, and easily the biggest impact on my life ever. And, you know, and the funny thing is, I think you and I talked about this last time, a lot of people didn't have that relationship with their father. Mm-hmm. I'm a teacher, and I've got students who and friends who don't have those relationships. And so I realized how fortunate I was to have that. And he was also that guy for a lot of my friends, too. A lot of my friends whose dads weren't around, he was a surrogate father for them. I mean, go to their house, help them fix their car, and, you know, I mean, you know, take them out to lunch when they came in town from college to visit, things like that. Just he was that guy that just, you know, was a mentor and a good man, but at the same time, it was never, you know.
He was a real man.
Yeah, exactly. You know, which is, I guess, a rare thing sometimes.
But, nowadays, seems like.
But, you know, I have every bit of confidence that if he were around and we were doing this show, which originally when we first planned it for the first year, he was alive while I was planning the first one, and he didn't make it for the first one. But if he would have been, for some reason, been healthy and we still had this show going on, he would have a blast. He'd be like, this is the best party, and, you know, this is the best party.
I can almost see it.
Yeah. He'd be, like, right there fist pumping with me on the side of the stage all over the place. So.
Big time, Phil. Big time.
He would have got a kick out of it. So.
Yeah.
But.
So everybody that was at the... Pretty much everybody that was at the pre-Philippalooza show, all the on the stage, is all kind of in one incarnation or another, going to be playing this show too. It seems right. Pretty close to it.
Pretty close to it. Yeah. The funny thing was I purposely did different bands this year for the pre-jam.
Yeah.
Than what we had in the years past, we've had some of the bands that we're going to play at Philippalooza kind of like as a preview, and I feel like we've gotten to a point where the bands we have on this, everybody kind of knows who they are, what's going on, and I wanted to do different bands than what we had. So while we all played it, we all played in our other bands besides our main project, I guess.
Yeah.
So like I know Sean basically was an artist at large, and he's doing Falling Fences, by the way, are doing Electric Fences. They're going to do what they did last year, which is a rare thing. They're not going to play their acoustic show. They're going to play electric for the whole night. So that's fun, you know. And so he'll be doing something different than what he did with us. You know, Spanky will be playing with Mom's Kitchen later. Sean Anglin will be playing percussion with us with the Scambleros instead of a vitamin or instead of with a alligator wine.
Yeah.
And so, I tell people all the time, St. Louis is very incestuous musically, where we all definitely dabble.
We all like each other for the most part. We like each other's music, each other's style.
Yeah. When we finish here tonight, I'm leaving to go down to McGurk's to go play with Sean later. And I'm not in Falling Fences. We're all friends. He texted me this morning and asked me to come down. And so, you know, it's funny how we all kind of lean on each other back and forth as far as helping each other out, being a part of each other's things. So
very cool.
Yeah, it's great to see just that community built, you know, like, and again, you know, you guys, you know, I kind of new to this community, but, you know, welcomed in with open arms. It feels good. It feels like family every time I, you know, get to hang around with all you guys. So
for sure,
I love to bring your mom to things.
Yeah, my mom likes to party, so
she gets down.
Yeah,
she gets down.
I caught her head bobbing at the bistro when we were doing the funky butt.
That was
bistro show. She was sounding like she was having a good time.
Yeah, that was great. It was her first funky butt show. My first and her first time at the bistro, and like we showed up and. Jeans and t-shirts, and we're like, oh, we
a little underdressed.
We missed the memo. There's a guy
it's a little fancy.
There's a guy next to us yeah, there's a guy next to us in a tuxedo, and you know, I was like, well, I'm here for a funky butt show.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, and they
don't, admission.
Yeah,
they don't treat it as reverent, maybe as everybody else does. Yeah. You know, the funky butt guys don't. That was my first time playing the bistro. That was that was when they asked me to do that this summer. I don't call my mom about a lot of things I get excited about musically, but I called my mom right away after that one. That was one of those where I was pretty geeked about it. And I know sure. I heard Derek saying the same thing last week when you had the Al Holiday Horns guys on. I think he was just as excited as I was about the whole thing. And the funny thing was, we get there and we're setting up and we're playing. I think it was the second night. And in the front row there was, and in the back corner there was a couple of different really obvious hippies, tie-dyed and everything like that. So when you commented about being underdressed, yeah. There were people who were maybe even more so underdressed than you were. So we walked backstage, and I won't say who, but one of the guys goes, "Those hippies being here is a direct result of Phil being here." And I said, I'll take that as a compliment. That's good. Yeah,
Phil's
cool,
bringing the works.
Yeah, bringing the works. That's the element that I have, then that's perfectly fine with me.
Sure.
Don't mind it in the least bit.
Party music. Yeah. Yeah. Hippies like to party.
That's for sure.
He's bringing grilled cheese and black bean burritos.
I'd go for a black bean burrito.
What about now? Yeah. But
you got a special guest you wanna?
Yeah, you wanna join us,
Jack Wright?
Yeah,
yeah. We'll bring this is my son Jack Wright. Come on in, Jack. Hi. So
come on in, man.
What's up? Nice to meet you. Thrown over there. So Jack, Jack's gonna play with us in the Phil Wright and Friends lineup. And since it's after his named after his grandfather too, I told him he could join us talking about it a little bit today. So.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and tell you the lineup for the Phil Wright and Friends lineup, because I do this different all the time, but it's similar to what we did at Funkfest. Al Holiday will be on keys. Buddy Mark Thomas is flying in from Florida to play drums with us. Tony Johnson and Brian Sachs from Thunder Biscuit Orchestra are joining us. Carson will be on guitar. Bill Ham's going to play percussion. We'll have Jack join us on some tunes, playing guitar and singing a little bit. He's going to front a couple of songs this year. And then the horns guys will join us on a few tunes as well. So that'll be the Phil Wright and Friends lineup we'll have together.
Yeah, very nice. That's a good lineup there.
What songs are you doing, Jack?
Well,
you can't tell anybody.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is it a secret? Sorry.
Yeah, well, because one of them's a bit. So.
Oh yeah, we're working with the gimmick.
Oh, okay, cool.
Jack's got a theatric side to himself.
Jazz.
Yeah.
I don't take myself too seriously.
Yeah. You play guitar? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, when did that start for you playing guitar?
I was kind of interested when I was little, but I was still little, so I never really focused on one thing. And then in middle school, I was like, that's actually kind of cool, and girls like it, so.
That's what got me started.
Yeah.
Hey, man, girls like a guitar player. I'm going to get in there.
Yeah.
Well, last year he played guitar and he played tenor sax with us during the set, too. And so I'm trying to figure out if we can get him to do both again. It was kind of funny to, one minute he's to my right playing guitar next to Brian, and then later in the set he's to my left and he's next to Austin Sabluski over there playing saxophone with the Funky Butt guys. And I told him, like, you got to rub shoulders with some talent tonight. That was something. And he got it. He knows he knows how important that is. So
yeah, it's crazy to me. Like, I mean, I don't know. Some people. You know, they might look at these guys like, he's a guitar player or a horn player or whatever. But, like, all these guys on this bill and around here, they're all rock stars to me. And I nerd out. Like, I try to play cool when I'm talking. But, like, inside I'm, like, seriously, like, just, you know, freaking out a little bit. And I'm like,
well, that's some top-shelf talent.
Yeah.
There,
but, I mean, these, you know, these
Al
guys.
Holiday in the east side. I mean, those guys are great.
But it's just, we have some serious all-star players all over the city. And
Jake's leg is a fixture.
Yeah. But, I agree. It's getting to share the stage with some of those guys. That's got to be a real treat, though. So.
How old are you? 16?
15.
15.
Yeah. I know we just did the Jam for Johnny
that was cool.
A little bit ago, which was, another great party.
Great success.
To seeing, like... Connor and Race and a lot of the guys from the School of Rock and stuff, all of them. And,
were they great?
I love seeing younger individuals like yourself getting, that are passionate about this and being able to have a stage like the old Rock House to play on and stuff and getting out there and doing this. So it's really exciting for me as a fan to watch and especially somebody like that, to like to watching them, like knowing that, you know,
new generation,
yeah, the next generation coming up. Yeah, so it's just like, so that'll be fun.
Well, that lineup, the Gypsy Lion lineup from you were talking about with Connor and Race and with Austin Thorne and those guys, that's, you know, I saw them, my friend Madison Thorne, it's her brother Austin plays bass in that band, and anyway, they were, you know, invited me out to come see them one time, and they caught me right away. I mean, that was one of those things where if you have any doubt that there's kids out there that have really good taste and that are working on their chops and that are putting something really cool together, then, you know, have no worries. There's plenty of them out there that are doing good work with that. And, you know, and Jack eats, sleeps, and drinks music. He devours it. And he turns me on to things that I don't know about. Who were we listening to today that I didn't know about?
Houndmouth.
Houndmouth, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about Houndmouth and turned me on to a new
band.
No
idea. I have gray hair, so I have no idea.
It's for me.
you guys both would see both of them were like, nope, no clue. Yeah.
Over our heads.
Yep. Happened after 1997.
Let's go watch Matt Lock, Carson.
I like that Wolfpack. Does that count?
Wolfpack,
yeah.
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, those guys are pretty tight.
So, December 3rd. Do we tickets on Metro Tix? Go over there, grab some tickets, and then we got all kinds of shirts and stuff.
T-shirt. Too. We're gonna have koozies this year. I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I have a koozie collection. I've never had my own koozie with anything that was
awesome.
Worth anything to me on it. So yeah.
Life has new meaning.
Yeah, life has new meaning when I can put my own koozie with my own event on my own bottle. So we're gonna have can koozies. We have T-shirts. We'll have a silent auction with you know, sports and concert materials and autographed merchandise, things like that. Concert tickets. You know, a few other items. We're still kind of working on the auction stuff. We could use actually help on the auction stuff. So if you have a business or a service that would like to donate gift baskets or gift certificates or anything like that, you can contact me on Facebook and let me know. We'd be happy to have anybody help out. We can list you as a, you know, and go with it that way too. So that's my little pitch I'll put out there.
Sure.
For anything, so.
Yeah, get out and get involved. Like I said, all this is for a great cause, and it's just going to be a wonderful day of music. Like 12 hours of music for $10. Like, that's, you know, you can't find that.
That anymore. Is a bargain. That's a bargain and a half.
One of those bands would be $10.
Right, yeah.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
I'd pay $10 to see some of those bands before.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And had no problem doing it because it's worth every bit of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Hell, I mean, Al Holliday's got, 73 people in his band or something like that at this point.
Yeah. I'd pay $10 for that band right
exactly.
There.
I mean,
73
people,
yeah.
It's, I mean, I'm
not 75.
And I say this about several bands that we're friends with, but, like, you know, watching Al play, what gig were we all on together at the Atomic Cowboy at the end of the summer? It was that closing outdoor festival we played, the Pavels played.
Gathering of the Grains.
Yeah, Gathering of the Grains, and we're standing on the side of the stage, two of us, and standing there, and I go, don't you just kind of get the impression that we're only going to have, like, people like Al Holliday and Emily in town for so long, at some point in time, they're going to get beyond St. Louis, because you're watching something really special happen in front of you, and like they're ours right now.
Sure,
but at some point in time soon, it feels like they're going to get
like go somewhere. Yeah,
it's, like and it's the, and
picked
it's,
up.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's going to snatch them up, and they're not going to be our thing only anymore. And you know, we're going to be those old guys going, I remember back when I could see them for $5 and you know, the Oyster Bar. And so it's you know, I'm proud of the lineup that we have on it, and you know, and the fact that I'm truly friends with everybody that's playing on the stage, and we all are. That's one of those things that's neat. That's one of the things why I think it's important to have Jack exposed to all this stuff too as a kid, is that you can do this two ways. You can make it a really competitive, cutthroat, you know, I don't like that other band because that's our competition or whatever, or you can do it in the sense of this is about a community and this is about, you know, truly trying to build a thing that's bigger. I don't want to say a scene, it sounds a little bit cliche, but building a thing that is actually more important than the actual people who are playing or the songs that are being played. It's about the whole entire community and culture that goes with it. And that's one of those things where Jack knows that I feel that way about it strongly. And it's one of those things where, as far as the scene, yes, it's a party at Philippalooza. Yes, the backstage area is pretty ridiculous and it's fun, but it really is like a giant family reunion downstairs. I mean, it's one of those where you get to, some of my favorite pictures that I get back from Nicole and from Charlie and some of the guys that shoot the show is the downstairs, the backstage area, hanging out with your buddies and things like that that we never get to do.
Right.
You know, typically speaking, well, we're all playing on the same nights.
Yeah.
And so having a night where we're all at the same place and nobody's going anywhere else, you know, because no other bar can book anybody that night. So
For me, that makes it special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I never get to hang out with all those cats at the same place. And
I think that's, like, a lot of it. Like, I mean, you look at all those, you know, Lollapaloozas or whatever, all these big festivals and stuff, and that's the same. It's a grander scale, but that's the whole thing. Like, they all love playing those big festivals because they get to hang with all their buddies, and it's like going to summer camp or whatever. You get to go hang with your buddy for the day. And
yeah, exactly.
So, I feel like it's more like a family reunion. Yeah. You get to drink beer at a family reunion.
The food doesn't suck either.
Who's bringing potato salad?
Yeah, exactly.
I love potato salad.
It's also how you wind up with all the cool, like, cool, unique moments where people are sitting in with each other's bands. That was something that happened the other night at the pre-jam. You got a flavor for that. But I mean, hell, Sean Cannon played with every single band there.
That guy's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. He can hang with anybody. It's funny how we were talking about
Grammy nominee.
It was the first time he played with Bottoms Up Blues Gang, good friends of ours as well, and it sounded like they've been playing together forever. And he just literally just sat there and played Slide over everything they were doing, and just the smiles on all their faces. And then he turns around and played with TBO, which he'd been in TBO with me and Brian way back when. And then Alligator Wine, of course, that was second nature doing Grateful Dead stuff. But him and the Provels, him and Jim Peters together, by the way, maybe my two of my favorite, you know, guys that just kind of speak the same language but are contrasting enough as far as players go.
Yeah, well,
both great players.
What was that? So Fresh, So Clean.
I love when they cover that. That's cool.
I'd never played Seven.
Provels are a bad band. That's another band.
Where you're like, how in the world are they still in St. Louis? That's a band that seems like they should be.
Consider yourself lucky, I guess, man.
Sure.
I do. I sure do. Every time I hear them, I love that song, Slow Cheddar.
Right?
I love it. It's a great instrumental tune. Love that song.
We get to play with them all the time, like different guys in that group. Like,
JT. Well, Bill Benalis plays with us.
Yeah, JT plays drums with the Scandaleros a lot, too. Yeah, yeah. And Jim Peters has played in our Jamboree lineups with us different times. Again, like I said, it's very incestuous, and that's usually a bad word, but it's a good term in this.
Yeah, it was family. I mean, you know, it's more like...
That's a lot of what this, the show, I think, is good for. Like, because I'm not really, I don't know, I'm just trying to capture moments and, you know, and then have this kind of cataloged of all this great music and St. Louis from... You know, this time to this time and stuff, and like you're saying, one of these days somebody's gonna break out of here and, you know, go on to much bigger things. But you know, it's like, it's nice to say that I've, you know, I have all this stuff, you know, from way from then or whatever, you know,
absolutely.
It's like whatever it is. And so, but I feel like that all the time, man. I'm like, I'm just, I look at all these people and it's kind of like I want to tell people about them. I do this show. I'm like, I want you to know these people are rock stars. But also, part of me is like, I kind of want to keep this one a little secret because
just for us.
Yeah, it's like,
it's really awesome. Yeah. I just want to keep.
Oh no, you never heard of that band? No,
yeah,
right. Yeah. And then, you know, when I talk about one of those bands, like Emily or Al or the Provels or something like that, or anybody that were on that list over there,
Eric Cam with the One Drops they should be out there.
And they're getting out there. Right? Are they? They're in Florida right now, I think.
Oh, are they? Yeah. Oh, never mind. I retract that.
But I mean, as far as like getting, garnering more national attention, we've got. Sure. I mean, I tell people all the time, I'll put our city's music scene up against anybody.
No pretty good.
At saying that, because if you've traveled and you've gotten outside of St. Louis, you know that that's not the case everywhere else.
Sure,
exactly.
And as much as I love going to Florida and playing down there, I'm lucky to get to do that pretty regularly. Those guys will tell you that it's not like it is here.
Yeah.
That there are a lot of gigs that feel like they're work because you're playing tourist industry stuff, you're doing things like that. To have on any given night, knowing you can walk out in St. Louis and just hell on South Broadway alone, and you're gonna fall into something. You're gonna land somewhere going, this guy's blowing my mind. Yeah. You know, that's, you know.
You guys know John McVay?
Yeah, great.
He's a bad dude.
Dude, no doubt about it. He's from Texas. Guitar singer.
But I met him, you know, not too long ago, and got to sit with him on the show. We actually recorded at Steve's Hot Dogs, which was a lot of fun. But talking with John, which was interesting because it was one of the first guys I got to talk to as an outsider, because he just recently moved to St. Louis like a year ago.
Yeah.
For the music scene, you know, to get plugged in here because he knew there was something going on here. So,
right. Sure.
So that was really, you know, I felt like it was a huge compliment to all you guys, like that we built this community that now outsiders are wanting to get involved in it.
Well, especially that blues community, man.
Right.
I mean, you got Jeremiah Johnson, Mikey Beery, Marquise Knox, all them dudes. I mean, that's going to draw attention, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's funny how when you get into that blues community, too, there's different forms and styles and different categories and different things that are... And some of them lap over, and some of them are, like, completely separate. And, you know, it's like...
McVeigh's kind of got his own sound there too.
Yeah, he's kind of got that
Roy Buchanan kind of thing. I like it.
Yeah, he's got that little Texas boogie and stuff.
Yeah, he's definitely like that stuff a lot.
Good singer too.
Yeah. But yeah, now he's it was just a really neat moment. You know, just like I said, you don't get to that outside perspective very often on what's going on here. So
yeah,
so it was cool. But we talked about Funky Butt, talked about Falling Fences, Al Holiday. You want to talk about some Jake Slig and Mom's Kitchen?
Oh yeah, sure. I've been friends with Jake Slig since I was underage and hanging out in the 20 North when I was 18, 19 years old, and at different points even worked for Randy in different shapes and styles. And then they played my wedding. They're just old school friends who I think, again, a true St. Louis treasure. Whether you're a deadhead or not, that band is incredibly talented, good at what they do. Yeah. And
Dave Gasper.
Yeah, and just created a thing. I mean, this, you know, I don't know another band besides the Grateful Dead that can have multiple tribute, in quotes, acts in a given city. And St. Louis has several. And
it's a vehicle for music. The Grateful Dead songs are just vehicles for improvisation, mm-hmm. you know, and all that. But the first time I saw Jake Slig was in 1996 at the Crestwood Mall parking lot.
Yeah.
I had a broken ankle. I had crutches. And I was like, this is the best band ever. You know? Yeah, I was great. Like, I love it. Love it. Love it. So
yeah.
I was 18 years old, walked into 20 North with a friend of mine who was, I was a senior in high school. A friend of mine who knew about it and knew that we could, you know, get in. Because we both looked old enough, basically. We, you know, there was a different time. So went down there and I was nervous. I don't think I'd been gone out to a bar where I was supposed to be 21 to go see live music yet. And I went down there and you know, kid from Creepcore, and went down on Vandeventer and went into 20 North and walked into this incredible world of, you know, twirling hippies and tie-dye and a small room with a band that was just owning the crowd.
Killing it.
I mean, just slaying the whole thing. And yeah. Talking about an eye-opening experience, and I just immediately wanted to know everything there was to know about how often does this happen? Is this a regular thing?
Can I work here?
I'll carry the boxes. I'll do whatever you need me to do.
Bar back, you name it.
And, you know, eventually had my 21st birthday party at the bar after having been there for 3 years on a regular basis. So, and, you know, but again, just you know, one of my favorite bands in town and always has been. And
great group of guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Great group of guys. And when I sent Joe the message, Joe Tronco, the bass player, I don't know, maybe in February, saying, hey, you know, starting to work on the lineup. And he goes, we've already blocked it. December 3rd, we've got it. They had it on the schedule right away, and they've done it. They might, besides any band I'm in, they might be the most frequent Philapalooza band that we've had on the bill for sure. I mean, they've never asked for much. They show up, and like, as far as needing like a whole lot of support for anything like that, like, you know, mm-hmm. they're so easygoing guys. They show up and like, oh, okay, cool, whatever, you know, this is the time. Well, cool, we'll be here, no problem. Yeah. And they show up, kill it, and then, you know, hang out,
yeah.
go home.
So. Yeah, very easygoing, very easy. Yeah. I mean, it's...
And then Mom's Kitchen, you mentioned, you know, those knuckleheads are buddies of ours, JR and Kyle. JR and Kyle were out last night for to support us with our TBO finale, and Jack's Blues Jr. over there is actually JR's old amp I bought off of him for Jack. And so, you know, it's, again, part of that community thing. And the funny thing is, Tony Johnson got in trouble for saying, it caused some hell for saying this on Facebook a couple years back, but we went to go see Widespread Panic here in town, and Mom's Kitchen was playing the after party. And Tony posted on Facebook, screw this, I'm leaving to go see Mom's Kitchen. I'd rather see them anyway than Widespread Panic.
Yeah.
And so, he was right. I'm not going to disagree with him, yeah. but there were some people who were...
I do the same thing.
Yeah. I'd rather go see Mom's Kitchen at this point, and that's not really even necessarily a knock on Panic right. as much as it is supporting right. Mom's Kitchen, because they're really, 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 really good at what they do.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a ringer for John Bell.
Yeah,
and it sounds just like,
and they're our friends.
Yeah,
and they're our friends.
And you know, it's a new. I can't really think. Go ahead, Phil.
No, they're just. I mean, they're.
Well, Tim plays with the band. Tim McLaughlin was sitting on the percussion yeah. with us and. You know, he does the Voodoo Players, which we do with Sean Cannon. When he gets back to that family thing right. that you're talking about, I mean, you know, that's a good band.
Yeah, they're a really tight band that has created a thing, which, you know, it's pretty ambitious if you think about it. Take a band like Widespread Panic and say we're going to do a tribute band to this thing, this one thing, and because it's a niche. I mean, it's definitely something where it's got its following for sure, and it's a dedicated following and a loyal following. They've got really passionate friends and fans that come out to those shows, but that's a commitment and that's an idea. And if you're going to do it, you better do it right. And they have.
Yeah, they do. That's they do it justice for sure.
Yeah. The first time we saw them, we were all we did one of those. The Atomic Cowboy has that Starfire Festival, the Jerry Garcia Birthday Festival they do. And so one of the very first ones they had, I was playing it with Snarky Gargoyles, so I was standing in the back with, and I don't think I knew JR. JR and I have a funny story. We met each other in the restroom in 1994 at Mississippi Nights at the Samples concert, I believe. And didn't see each other again for like 5 or 6 years, and then ran into each other at the Oyster Bar, and he goes, "Did I talk to you in the bathroom at the..." yeah, we did. And so... I'm like, he was the only person I knew on stage up there, though. And so they set up, and I'm standing there with Joe Lindsay and Brian and Tony and Kurt, and we're like, a Panic tribute band? I don't know, man. This could be. And then, like, moving through the first song, I'm like, okay, they know what they're doing. They got this. This sounds pretty
great
legit.
Great players. Chuck Yeager's a great bass player. Yeah. Brian Turpitt's a really good drummer. I mean, the whole band is... Kyle's a great guitar player.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, JR sounds just like that lead singer. So, I mean, you can close your eyes and it sounds just like it.
Right.
It's funny when he does the, JR does the Talking Heads night with the Voodoo Players. And it's funny how people that don't know that he's going to sing, and that's how he sings. That's just how JR sings. He's not trying to necessarily always emulate. That's just what he sounds like when he sings. And all of a sudden they're doing a Talking Heads song and he starts singing. And you can see the look on people's faces going, is that... That sounds familiar, but that's not like a Talking Heads type of vocal, you know, presentation. And it's his voice, and it fits perfectly for what they do.
Yeah. We got Cluster Pluck. I just saw those guys last night.
Last night, yeah. I saw you there last night. That's right. Yeah.
Great show. And I don't know. They're a whole lot of fun to watch. They do their own thing.
Oh yeah,
with the bluegrass, newgrass strings, and it just. They're a lot of fun to watch when they pulled off Brick in the Wall last night.
I mean, wasn't
just,
that cool?
Yeah, such a cool song. I mean, like, it's just fun to see what they're able to cover with just strings and stuff.
Oh, the haunting fiddle part that they played. I was standing there and in the middle of a conversation with somebody, and I literally walked away from the conversation when that part started. I'm like, I don't want to hear you talk. I want to hear this because that sounds really awesome right now. And it was, you know. Like you said, they're a hell of a lot of fun. I've played with them a couple of different times, and you know, more than welcoming and inviting. And if you're not having a good time on stage with those guys, you're doing something wrong. I mean, they're high energy.
Mm-hmm.
They write good songs. They definitely know how to keep a crowd completely enthralled the entire time. And you know, I've always had a really soft spot in my heart for bluegrass, both traditional and you know, non-traditional as well. And I don't think you can necessarily find a pigeonhole to put them in as far as their type of, you know, grass arrangements on tunes. It's definitely got a little bit of honky tonk to it. It's got a little bit of, psychedelic to it. It's got a little bit of everything.
I saw them do Bill Withers, you know, and stuff. I mean, they got some little soul in there too, and they do it all. But and then I think what also is very unique for them and is they have four different voices for they all sing and and they all take lead too. Yeah. So it's just. They offer a lot of variety and sound in their group. So
yeah, having four lead vocalists in a band that can do, you know, and taking turns fronting those songs there's a certain level of checking your own ego at the door that has to come with that too. And that's again speaking to the type of people that they are.
Yeah.
And so
well, that's what we kind of do. I mean, all three of us sing. Sure. You know, Carson, Phil, and I. We all sing lead.
Right.
You know, it's not like I'm gonna like, oh, I want to sing this song. No.
Yeah.
No. It's like I'll sing backup or I'll sit down.
Yeah. Well, like Sean England plays.
I'll only stand up. I'll stand up if I had to.
We had rehearsal a little bit ago, and I'll keep that inside. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
Joe's like, fine, I'll sing this one.
Yeah.
It'll leave it at that.
But it works out great, you know.
Sure.
And because, like Joe was saying there, I mean, we're all genuinely interested in team victory.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like Sean England and Alligator Wine, our drummer, he sings, and he's a great vocalist. Mm. And it's like, he's great never harmony. Asked to front anything. He's perfectly happy just taking harmonies on different things. We were talking the other night, like, you know, Carson doesn't sing a lot of fronting songs with Alligator Wine so far. And we're like, we need him to sing more songs. We need Sean to pick a couple tunes. He wants to sing front. I mean, I think that's really neat when you can go in and say, I'm going to have, you know, like you said, four different voices.
Yeah.
and it you know, changes things up for the audience, changes things up for the band, and you know, kind of puts different people in the driver's seat at different times too.
Yeah.
So
keeps things interesting.
Yep.
Definitely.
Keep folks guessing. Variety is the spice of life, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh yeah.
Well, these are little things like, you know, again, these are the little things that I want Jack to be aware of as he goes forward, you know, and he's
yeah.
and he's starting to play with his with guys that he's wanting to play with, playing music with his on his own, and it's like there's a way to do this, and there's multiple ways to do this. There's a right way to do it though that I think as far as projects the type of message you want to have about you as a person and about you as your music, and you know, there's that sense of community again is important as far as all that goes.
Yeah. Well, again, come on out December 3rd, hang out with all these guys.
It'll be a great time.
Yeah. Come watch Jack shred on stage and
bring your party pants.
Yeah.
Well, Jack came out this summer for one of our Jamboree nights for his birthday, and the first time he played with us, he was definitely kind of in the back, like, okay, and you could see there were nerves. I mean, he's on stage sure. with a bunch of grown-ups, and he was
yeah, exactly.
What were you? 12?
I would have been the same way.
Yeah, I was 13. It was right after 8th grade.
Yeah, He was 13 years old when he first played on stage at the Oyster Bar with us, and there was definitely some nerves there, but he did fine. He did just fine. But each time he's done it, do you feel more confident at this point?
I mean, I feel more confident, but I mean, on my birthday, I was a little bit nerve-wracked because I had like band rehearsal in the morning and then football practice after that and then more band, and then I came back and I was like sweaty and looked awful and I changed in the car and I was like, let's play a show. It's going to be fun.
So, all right.
But he got up there and he kicked off Baggy's Farm on his own, and there was definitely like it was like everybody kind of went, oh.
Yeah, kid can play.
He's got a little more confidence, and he sang it and he fronted it, and hell, he came to play. Carson and I did a crawfish boil last spring. And,
good job on that Wood Brothers song.
Yeah.
What was that one again?
Luckiest Man.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot.
Do
more
you do that one? I'm Loaded or Load It?
Yeah,
that's a Wood Brothers song, isn't it?
I
got Loaded.
They do. They do.
That's a remake of an old. That's an old song too.
Oh,
last night I got Loaded.
Yeah,
out of the whiskey.
It's like a tradition.
Right? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
they do a Wood Brothers, and then Tab Benoit does a version. And a bunch of people, but yeah, it's a great song.
Thank you.
Well, it was like a 50s pop song. I think it was like one of those like a 50s like soul pop song. I think as far as first time I ever heard it anyway, it was like a 50s arrangement, like a party like 50s soul arrangement. But Crawfish Boil though, Jack comes out and I'm like, you can play on a couple of songs, and we'll get you out of the way after that, okay? You know, you can hang out, you can eat some crawfish. And he wound up playing the whole day with us, and, you know, it's definitely, he's progressed as a player. And it's not so much, again, it's not so much about the playing stuff it's as much as it is about seeing the right way to do this stuff. And I think, you know, I think as a parent, you're always trying to model to a certain degree. And I've definitely modeled some bad things, but I think that I've tried to make sure that I model.
Nice.
You don't need to give any examples right here, dude. Right? Whatever you don't start laughing at like that right away. That's
reality.
That's what that is. But no, I'm excited he's going to do this with us again this year. And you know, when he came to me with his idea for what he wanted to do, I kind of had to get my head around it for a second and go, all right, how much trouble is this going to get me with my mom? How much trouble is this going to get me with everybody? And then I'm like, no, it's funny. It's genuinely good. It's a good song, and it's a good piece that we can kill. And
it feels like a good payoff when you skip lunch to play guitar in the band room, and your friends are looking for you, and you're just like, I'd rather play this song than talk to you and deal with it.
There you go. It is a payoff.
Yeah.
Typically speaking, if he's not doing... if he's not doing football or baseball, he's got a guitar in his hand and he's playing, which is, you know, I'd rather know that that's what he's doing than 99% of the other things he could possibly be doing as a 15-year-old.
So. And at, like, band competitions, I'll switch from tenor and then I'll bring a mandolin with me on the bus.
Yeah, there you go.
Sitting around eating bagels and for some reason.
What's your band instrument? You play saxophone?
Tenor sax, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I've been, my brother-in-law, he is now a freshman at CMSU. He's playing in the marching band and stuff, but I've been trying to get him to go to Funky Butt shows and stuff to where he can kind of see guys that are taking horns and doing and making a career out of it and doing some other stuff with it besides just marching and things. So I think really opened up his world. Yeah.
You can think outside of the box, right. You know. You don't have to just, you know, read those notes.
Sure.
And I think this is really all-encompassing of, you know, the St. Louis music scene, too. Great variety.
Yeah, definitely.
Know? I mean, you've got sort of a brass band there. You've got some, you know, tribute bands. You've got a couple pretty good original bands in there. And they all work together and like each other. It's awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
I think your first time seeing Funky Butt, you were probably 12.
Yeah, I was little. I think it was at a Blue City Deli.
Yeah, I went down to Blue City Deli for the street fest. And
you could go for one of them Blue City Deli
right now. Yeah, I'm saying I'm hungry. But yeah, he just stood there in the street like this, going with his mouth open, going, "This is the coolest." And so, and then we went to the Lomar Sculpture Park to see him for another thing a little bit later. And so I've tried to like make sure that I've brought him up around music as a fan, as a player. Well, damn it, I want a mint too, fine.
Our breath stinks, so we're taking mints right now, people out there in internet land. If you were here, you'd love it.
December, grab the weight
at the bottom of it. Okay.
December St. Louis is pretty loaded, though, music-wise. I mean, there's a lot going on, and it's... You can choose to go to your company Christmas party, and make all kinds of bad choices, or you can come make bad choices with us.
Take Xerox copies of your butt.
Right, exactly. all the bad things that happen at the company Christmas party.
Which is there's another, the most tame.
I'll take a second to plug this because I'm doing it too. There's another great Christmas party, something I've done the last few years. It's really, really fun. And it's funny to me when people say they've never heard of it or they don't know about it. And it's because it's such a cool event. But December 16th and 17th at Off Broadway, Funky Butt Brass Band does their Brass Extravaganza holiday party.
Yeah,
and it is Bob Bennett from the Bistro is kind of a dirty Santa, and Josh Watler, our buddy, our faux manager, is a drunken elf. And, I mean, there's snow inside. It snows for like the whole last set inside of the venue. They have a snowblower that comes on.
Yeah,
it's a pajama party. We do it for two nights, and people that genuinely can't stand the holidays or hate Christmas songs come to that and just have an absolute great party. It's a great party. It's fun at all. It's one of the more fun things I get to do, and they make it so easy. The Funky Butt guys do. When you go to rehearsal, they come in and it's when they have a giant plate of bacon, and they make it very inviting. But cookies, pajamas, and Christmas tunes. But not your mom's Christmas tunes by any means.
Right.
And, so that's December 16th and 17th. So I get to do that right after Philip Palooza every year. And, going back to work in January sucks.
Back to life, back to reality.
I always got jealous when you show me like the tapes of those rehearsals. I have to practice band songs in like September, or Christmas songs, and then play them in December. Mm-hmm. And it's always really boring because it's the same thing. And then you guys have plates of bacon and pajamas and fun. And
so much cooler.
Yeah. Man, I wish I could sit with those guys. I want some bacon.
I could probably get you some bacon, Joe, without having to sit down.
I don't play sousaphone, but...
Yeah. No. I just watched... Cody Henry do a sousaphone solo with The Urge getting hectic.
Really? Isn't he sick, though, dude? Cody Henry. All them guys in Funky Butt are awesome.
Yeah, Cody's awesome. A machine, though. He is literally
a bad dude.
He is a locomotive. That guy's a monster.
But I've seen Aaron and Adam jump up there with The Urge a couple times, but it was my first time seeing Cody, and it was my first time seeing sousaphone solo during Getting Hectic, so it was definitely a lot of fun. But
he killed it though, didn't he?
Oh yeah, but it was just fun to watch. I love watching my friends get up there and to play on that stage, and then everybody turns like, who are these guys? And all that stuff, and like it's just it's a cool feeling.
Hopefully, it turns them on to that band.
Well, one of my friend that I brought with me, he was like, that was awesome, and I was like, well, you should come December 16th.
There you go,
and come see them do their Christmas show,
And that show, that show comes close to selling out every year. I think we did sell out Friday night last year, and the second night was pretty close to being sold out. So it's one of those where I know a lot of people don't buy advance tickets for things. This is one, if you want to go to it,
right.
I can't recommend enough getting tickets. And we don't get many guest spots, so don't ask.
Yeah.
So.
And Steve Ewing is a guest on the 16th night.
Cool.
So he'll be singing a song. Nice. So I like that they bring in a lot of Emily Wallace, we mentioned, she'll be singing. And so it's nice to see a bunch of guest appearances from friends around the
They bring in a lot of good talent for that thing every year, and it's sometimes there's some of us that do it every year, and then there's some surprises along the way. You're talking about Connor earlier, kind of low. I met him doing the Christmas jam, and I was like, he showed up at rehearsal, and I'm like, who brought their kid to rehearsal? And because I think he was 16 at the time, I'm like, who brought their kid to rehearsal? And then put your hand down.
I want to come.
You can come to rehearsal. That's fine. You can't come to the show, though. But he shows up and he plugs in, and all of a sudden he's shredding on. They do a they do a Christmas version of Crazy Train. That's Crazy Sleigh.
All right.
And he just shreds through the whole thing. And I'm like, holy cow. Okay, that's why that kid's here. And,
yeah.
You know, he was no longer a kid in my eyes at that point.
But, I think Jerry Jost from The Urge played it last year, right? Or at least,
yeah.
Or at least one of the nights. And so another Urge alumni.
Right.
But yeah, no, Connor, man, that guy, he's one to watch for sure. That guy's a lot of fun to watch. But anyway, we'll wrap this up with a couple of Scandaleros tunes, right?
Yep.
You want to drop those in and people can get a little taste of what's to come for this new record coming soon.
Right. Wait. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're excited. I think I speak for all three of us when I say that we're truly excited to get in and do this together and put together, a lot of these are songs we've been playing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, and there's some new ones in there people haven't heard yet. But I know I'm excited about it. We kind of had a collective Facebook message high five when the other night when we got the production meeting set up and kind of looking forward to doing this. It's been a long time in the making and we're excited to do it. And being us, we of course started talking immediately about the CD release party and what it's going to be like. we don't have the damn thing recorded yet. We're already looking forward to the party.
I mean, like I said, we've been playing them song forever, man. So they're ready to be recorded.
Let's just party.
Let's plan the party and who's going to be there. And how bad it's going to be.
And take the next day of work off.
Yeah.
But yeah, so keep an eye out for that. Follow the Scandaleros and all of you one of these other bands online. Keep up with them on social media and all that so you can find another date. Along with December 3rd, though, you can catch these guys. You can catch the Scandaleros on the 26th.
Stagger Inn again in Ebersville,
November 26th.
Alligator Wine is December 2nd, the night before Philapalooza at the Venice Cafe. December 9th, I believe, is our Scandaleros at the Venice Cafe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so come out to those shows, get you get warmed up for the real deal. Philapalooza, December 3rd, Old Rock House, $10, 3 p.m. Get some tickets. Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Shane. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, man.
Peace.
Thank you.
Original song. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. That's one of my own. This next one's another original song. It's about getting past the hard times. Fighting through what you gotta fight through. Kind of self-explanatory. It's called Battle. Loving soul.